Now, Americans have a choice to make this fall between myself and my opponent. He has presented himself as a businessman whose business experience will help the economy.
You know, like a fox, whose fox experience will help him guard the hen house.
But questions about his finances remain.
Now, I don't know nobody who has a Swiss bank account except for Goldfinger and Octopussy. Y'all Republicans just nominated a James Bond villain for president.
Break!
As someone, obviously, the two people that talked about the economy are well-informed and know about it. So my question, because I'm not at all, is Mitt Romney proposing something that's different than what's been in place before? Because my question is, if what Obama's plan is isn't working, like why would
Romney's plan work?
Yeah, like why would the alternative that has kind of been shown to not work, if anything, be a better alternative? Unless, and I ask this because I don't know, Mitt Romney could be proposing something different. I just don't know. I don't know what he's proposing. It seems like the same thing. Is there differences?
It is somewhat the same thing, but you got to look at a couple of things. First of all, it's funny. When we talk about, you know, Democrats call it a trickle-down economics. Conservatives usually talk about it as supply side. But, you know, Democrats always point to George W. Bush and say, this failed. Republicans point to Ronald Reagan and say, this succeeded. And their approaches were somewhat similar. Look, Obama really has been treated unfairly. I'm not saying that he hasn't been. And not necessarily by people who are intentionally trying to be mean. It's just, again, the conversation is dumbed down. People don't understand how much the economy has changed since the 80s and the 90s. You know? Look, for a multitude of reasons. One being the fact that technology has become so much more efficient now that corporations don't need as many workers. That's one reason why Reagan could lower taxes in the 80s and it would lead to an explosive amount of growth, and Bush could lower them in the 2000s. He didn't lower them as much, but he lowered them, and you see a rather anemic amount of growth, and Obama can spend almost $1 trillion here in 2012, and it does even less. My personal opinion is that, generally speaking, giving people their own earned money back, and not just in the wealthier class, but in the middle class and all the way through, is a better way to stimulate the economy than funding it through government and through government projects. But, you know, it's a legitimate debate to have. I honestly think that no matter who gets in there, we're still in for a rough time for a while, because I think both solutions are a little bit outdated.
I guess I'm just like, why move back to something that seems to have not worked?
Because you can say that about Obama, too.
But, I mean, we haven't even given him the full 8 years. So I guess my point is, why in 4 years would you say, well, let's go back to what got us here in the first place? Like, it just seems illogical.
That's not what got us here in the first place, because the Bush tax cuts didn't have anything to do with the financial collapse. That was a completely different thing, and Democrats always seem to try to make the argument that somehow Bush lowering taxes caused the housing crash, which isn't quite true.
But it did have something to do with our debt starting to raise. Yeah, exactly. And debt being the cost of labor, right now.
You're right. It did have something to do with the debt crashing. I mean, with the debt raising. But if you actually look at the deficit arc over the period of Bush's presidency, the first year after he implemented the Bush tax cuts, the deficit went up to about $170 billion from the zero where Clinton left it, with the surplus that Clinton left.
Well, debt is one of those things that, as it occurs over years, the interest just gets out of hand that it balloons.
The question is the effectiveness of the Bush tax cuts. And what I'm simply saying to you is that where the Bush tax cuts started off, they left us at a deficit of about $170 billion. Across the course of 7 years, it returned to that exact same place. It crested at about 400, came back down to 170. If it wasn't for the financial collapse, which owed itself to something totally different, the Bush tax cuts would have pushed us in a better direction, because the math seems to indicate it, you know? So that's why I'll take the Republican economic poison over the Democrat economic poison, partially for that reason, because with what the Democrats are doing, it seems like you get these short spurts of growth, and then the momentum seems to disappear. With Bush, at least we had some momentum. Unemployment was really very low under Bush. And you always have lower job growth when you have lower unemployment than when you have higher unemployment. And that's a simple economic
He came after an 8-year prosperous Democratic president. I mean, we could do this over and over again for each side. Like, oh, what I did helps you out and what you did helped me out. I mean, yes, we can do that because that's just the nature of economics. That's the nature of how the ebb and flow of this country. I want to get to the issue of, look, I'm going to go back to Casey's question about how it affects me. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a black man in America, the Republican Party does not represent anything that says you are welcomed here. When you allow people to be at a rally and threaten the standing president's life by just having the very presence of being armed at a rally, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, you don't even remember the history and what that could even say to black people in this country and the domestic terrorism we've experienced.
Or any
race. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. The insanity that ensues in the Republican Party is, I don't care about the economic policies because that's going to come and go. But the stupidity, the ignorance that is allowed to happen in that party and represent this country, I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. Well, I never was with it to begin with, let's be honest. You know? And it drives me crazy. And it's hard for me to see people like Brother Herman McCain or Dr. Condoleezza Rice, because I'm just thinking to myself, yes, I understand your a need to be fiscally conservative or even socially conservative, but when you're dealing with a party that in 2012, it's obvious that they do not really care about people of color and integration of the country. That to me is a fundamental issue. There are when Casey just quoted this woman who said, "I don't like him." I mean, that goes into a deep-seated almost hatred and dislike, like as if this man has personally murdered every single person in your family. I've never had that kind of hate for any of the Republican presidents.
You know, and it underscores the lack of leadership within their party.
And that I'm sorry, people, that's enough for me to vote Obama 2012. Keep it going forward.
That people on the whole don't say, you know what, there's no place for this in our party, and we're actually going to kick you out of this town hall meeting or this whatever, because this is not what we represent. And I mean, just like Obama's doing for, you know, the rights of gay people, and so that they can have all the civil, you know, visits and tax breaks in a marriage, you know, people on the right, on the left, as Malcolm explained, don't appreciate his pushing that. But that's leadership. When you say, you know what, I can't have it. Like, the same constitution that protects Mitt Romney worshiping as a Mormon, you worshiping as an Anglican or as a Catholic or as a Sikh or as a Baptist, that same thing means that someone else can express their love and whatever. And so it's leadership for someone to, and I think the lack of leadership, I'm always puzzled by that in the Republican
Party. And the thing about it is, the thing about it is too, let me make this point. Now, Romney, I know you had your article that you put on the site showcasing Mitt Romney's father and how he actually worked on the behalf of the civil rights movement. But we do have some people who are a part of the Republican Party where that has never been their agenda. In fact, it's been the opposite. And they've passed those same feelings down generation to generation. And now you have their kids who, at this point, the world is probably a really crazy fucked up place for them because a little bit of everything exists in the public eye right now. So you have people, we can't act like there's not a part of their social agenda that continues to push that white is right mentality. It does. That's the first thing. Second thing, and I'm gonna keep asking this until somebody answers me. Why are we not willing to give Obama 8 years? Like, what is the problem? What had he, and Chris kind of stepped on this, what has he done that is so God awful that we're not willing to give him a second term? Gave Bush a second
term. I'll say this, and this is I thought about it, and it has really scared me for both parties. If Obama gets reelected, right, we've had basically two different presidents who came back to back of doing two terms. Now it's gonna be like everybody's campaigning for 8 years. So like, at some point, are we just gonna have to change it to 8 years? Like every president, but why not? I mean, because if you get in and you do shitty, should I be like, well, You haven't done it. You hadn't had enough time. Maybe if you need another 4 years, should you do it? Do you think Bush did? No. Do you think? Do you think Bush deserved another 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, unless he no.
Do you think Bush deserved another 4 years?
But he got it.
No, but I'm not saying. My argument is it will be the same argument on both sides.
He cheated. He lied, and he stole. That's how he got it.
That's what I'm scared of.
But my question still is that doesn't. You've made that's a cool point. No, that's still not answering my question. Why aren't we willing to give this man another 4 years?
Because one answer.
Why is there even
fine?
A question?
I'll give you one because he's fucking black. You want to?
Somebody had to.
Yes,
say
that's one answer. Let's just put that out there. I mean, shit. When he got in the first time, were black people stupid enough to think that they weren't going to try to get a white person in as quickly as possible?
I do believe that.
Of course. This is not shocking.
It's more important for him to win because it's like you don't want the first black president to have the one term failure 4 years.
Right,
because
they will put
again.
That in the history books so bold in the shortest right. the shortest chapter on a president again. Ever. Let's right. never make this. Let's never go back. That chapter will end with that.
But it's very important that he wins. It can be led in that if they don't bring him back, but. They can't change, you know, shit, John. They can't change Obamacare, and Obamacare works out. He'll get known for it. And sometimes being the first, you don't get the full-on glory. Like, he's knocked the door down for every non-white man.
Amen.
He knocked it down for a white woman, any of that.
I have a problem with people who vote for Obama. I'm kind of back and forth. Who have an affection for Obama simply because he's black, and I think every time I hear a black person mention Obama, there's a part of me that really like leans in to listen closely. Like, why do they really like him? You know, but Chris Rock made the good joke. It's like black people loving Obama. They don't love him because he's black. I mean, like, if that were the case, they would have loved Al Sharpton in the way they love him. We love him because he's black and excellent, and the two just go
exactly.
Hand in hand.
And make no mistake, there is a fraction of the white community that will vote and that voted in 08 and is voting this year because they're voting against the black person of color candidate. So it can go on both sides.
Mm-hmm. But you know, my problem with just the rhetoric concerning the Republican Party is that, look, Malcolm, I can agree with a lot of the things that you're, a lot of the specific instances that you're talking about. But in my experience, the type of attitude you're portraying isn't indicative of most Republicans. I know because, well, I obviously don't know all Republicans or all Democrats. But in my experience, the vast majority of Republicans I know are people who judge you just the same way they'll judge anybody else.
But John, would you agree that what's
the contents of your character? Now, obviously,
would you agree that what's being portrayed in the media and what is being portrayed, who's getting the most coverage so that we see? Are the people who you just spoke of, or are the people at rallies, the Tea Party, or the Tea Party? Because the Tea Party is probably the greatest example of the vitriol. And the nefarious behavior.
I agree that of the incidents that are obviously that have racial overtones to them, that they get a prominent showing in the media. But a large part of that is just because the media is sensationalist and is always going to want to play up racial tension and animosity.
But that's the Republican Party doesn't show leadership and separate themselves from that. The Republican Party allowed the birthing issue to go on for months. Why is that an issue, John? Why should that be an issue for the Republican Party?
You can't just tell people they're not allowed to speak.
Are you kidding me? Hold up. All of these people belong to corporations. If the corporation says, our mandate is that we are not going to tell people that we put MSG in our food, even though it's there, unless it comes up. So nobody talk about it. It will not be talked about. That was a terrible example. I'm so sorry.
You can't tell them that they can't speak, but you can tell them that they are not welcomed in your party. Like, hey,
exactly.
You know what? We disavow this, and all talk of any craziness like this is just not welcome. And that hadn't happened. Personally,
last time I checked, it was never illegal or even immoral to be a moron. You know, to be a moron. You know, and that's what I think.
But you can stand up to Fox News when they are having Haley or whatever Orly Tates, the big birther blonde haired lady. Every time she was on. Leadership within the Republican Party could have come on and argued against her and be like, hey, you know what? You have this argument, And I want to let you know that there's no place for this. And even Fox News, you need to stop covering this and giving this.
But they did. But none of that ever happened. Ultimately, but no, they didn't do it because in their DNA is a little bit of like.
No, not because in their DNA.
That in the Republican Party said that Barack Obama was not born in this country. Not a single leader in the Republican Party ever of any significance, anyway, ever supported Orly Tate. Maybe they didn't kick these people out of the party, but it's politics. Democrats and Republicans alike will keep the crazy elements in their party if they think they can use them. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but why on earth would you only accuse the Republican Party of doing the very same thing that Democrats and Republicans have done for generations?
And see, the other thing about the Republicans, because with all this, the argument, it's hot in here, y'all. We got the air conditioning on. It's 10:46 p.m. and it is at least 95 degrees.
Politics and religion. People start going
Here's
crazy.
Here's my thing, Wood. And you know I love and respect you. We can have these conversations and be on opposite ends. But in defense of what Tash and Malcolm were saying. Now, when this guy, I forget his name at this point, but came out with that crazy ass comment about abortion.
Yeah,
why weren't they as quick to take care of some of these other issues that Malcolm and Tash are mentioning?
Because, and Malcolm's right, this represented a minority in the party for sure, but a fairly significant number of people, and you just couldn't kick them out of the party and expect to win.
But that kind of racism is a problem.
So they were being opportunists.
Absolutely. But I'm saying Democrats do the same thing.
That's not leadership, though.
The Democrats do the same
thing. Right, but not leadership. On issues of moral principle.
I'm not, as long as you realize that
there's a lack of leadership in the Republican Party, then we're on the same
page. There's a lack of leadership in both parties.
No, yes, no, but we're talking about the Republican Party, specifically on the issue that is a stain on how our nation was formed.
Yeah.
The issue of race and identity. This is classic identity politics.
Democrats
are not 100% pro-black either. We stopped talking about
you really did dismiss that.
I just don't understand why you would focus all your attention on what the Republican Party does with respect to this sort of thing and sort of act like, so therefore, you know, they're the only bad guys in this equation.
But what do the Democrats
do? The political culture as a whole.
Honestly, though. The example.
The Democrats come off like they have no fucking balls. That's what they do. Democrats act like if they're not going to go as hard.
She means what moral things.
I'm saying here's an example. Let me give you an example. If someone came out, which I wish this would happen, and really like did like a tell-all of like the Mormon religion, like dogged it, like just like, do you know how crazy those people are? If someone did that and was like, and even let's say to the point of spreading lies, oh my God, lies? Yes, lies, like the Republicans do. They flat out lie. So let's say on the Democratic side, there was someone really spreading lies. You don't even have to lie about the Mormon religion for it to be outrageous. But let's say someone went a step further and took it like to the lie status. And it became to the point that it was like a recurring thing. Like people were coming at Mitt Romney like, you know, dude, you guys believe like, you know, in magic unicorns, which they almost do, but the point is, I actually do believe, and you can call me naive, that if it rose to the level of like Barack Obama's level, that he would say that is not accurate and that is not what the Mormons believe, and Mitt Romney has every right to believe what he believes. I actually do think
I think if he gets elected, if he wins, it'll happen. If he gets in, if Mitt Romney wins. Somebody is going to bash the shit.
Well, we
out
need
of
to be exposing the Mormons now. Okay. We don't need to wait till then. But I would love to expose the Mormons personally. I wish that more people besides the only person I hear really dogging them is Bill Maher and Howard Stern will. And honestly, I don't hear of anyone else talking about what they actually believe, and I don't know why that's not relevant.
And we really
I think
should.
It's very relevant. Yeah,
but then they haven't hit that part of the race yet.
The Mormon church is actually really deep rooted.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
And that should be exposed, in my opinion. And I don't think Obama should do it, but I think it should happen. And I think that.
Well, to me, it's.
And it definitely should, considering the fact that Romney mentioned his religion several times during his speech at the RNC.
And that's all the Republicans care about is that's how they get the freaking poor Hicks is religion. That's how they get them. I mean, they vote socially, they vote against their own economic interests because they want to vote for the Christians who are going to vote against abortion and are going to keep God in the White House.
The black hating.
And then they buy. And the thing is, they need to know that they're actually not voting for that. They need to know. Mitt Romney is a freaking Mormon. You would probably die, Hicks, in Arkansas if you knew what Mitt Romney believes. They just have no idea. They think, oh, okay, Christian, whatever.
If Barack wasn't black, there'd be a lot of black people going over to the Republican side too.
Look, Lisa, with all due respect, I mean, I find what you're saying kind of, I mean, I almost don't even know what to say about it, just because I don't believe man should be judged on the basis of his religion. Look, I think he
uses his religion as like a positive thing about himself. Like, it's like, I'm a Mormon man and I'm this, that, this. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, well then let's look at what you believe. Like, why? They accuse Obama of being a freaking Muslim and he's even not. That's what's so crazy.
Yeah, well, some of them do, but they're not right in doing it. And anybody else who would try and use Romney's faith against him, well, look, it's important to look at a person's actions and judge them on the basis of that. I'm a Christian, and a person could easily label me a disgusting individual because I'm a Christian. I'm fortunate enough, I guess, as far as that goes, to live in a country where there are a lot of other Christians, so I don't have to worry about that. But Romney comes from a religious minority. I don't agree with so many things Mormons believe, but they've been persecuted for being Mormons throughout much of their history, you know? So it just seems strange to me to suggest that we should turn to that as a way to discredit Romney. Look, Barack Obama has got a lot to be proud of. He's done a lot of good things. He can win without anybody going into the sort of things that you criticize the other side of doing.
I don't mind the dirty. I just want it to be on both sides. And I find the Democrats try to take the high road way too much, in my opinion. Like, get as dirty as the Republicans. If they're going to dog Obama for being a Muslim that he's not, then let Obama dog Romney for being a Mormon, which he is.
And this is the Democrats that accused Mitt Romney of being complicit in a woman's death. It was the Democrats who accused Mitt Romney of possibly committed a felony. That woman had health care after her husband was fired from his job. Romney was not even directly exercising control over Bain Capital at that point. Barack Obama himself said that he believed the advertisement, he believed the ad was basically false. Now, to say that was true when Democrats and Obama himself are repudiating it, and there's no facts to go behind it if you look into it. But look,
but that's a perfect example. Where's the Republican talking about the false Republican ad?
Well,
really see that, do you? But you and yet they have just as many, if not way more.
You definitely don't see any Republican ads accusing Obama of murder. But look, the Republicans.
They can.
Look,
they would if they could believe it. Can I
jump in? Because this would be in your benefit, Brother Wood. But I want to say, I am a Christian. This is Brother Malcolm. And what's interesting to me about religion politics is that most of the people who are basing decisions off of their religious or their Christianity probably don't have a relationship with God. Because if you read first of all, as someone who knows the scripture, a lot of what they believe in, it's not biblically based. And it gives Christianity a terrible name. Because when you look at the life of Christ, that's a whole subject in itself. But a lot of the behavior of people in both parties doesn't even represent the religion that they propose that they is that their beliefs are founded upon. So I just want to say, one of the things that sort of frustrates me in general about religion and politics is that we become, it's like there's monolithic religions, and that everybody acts, talks, believes the same way. All of religion is interpretation, and I believe that, you know, how God speaks to me is for Malcolm Kishner. I'm not giving my full gun, but for my life. And, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned, and I'm not offended by you saying it, Leisha, but you were like, he believes in magical unicorns. Well, as a Christian, yeah, there are some things I believe in that a lot of people probably would find unimaginable and they could not believe.
Like, yes, Bill Maher?
No, that's wrong.
Bill Maher doesn't believe in religion at all.
Right.
Leisha is an equal opportunity, equal opportunity persecutor of all.
But who do you... Yeah, who do you blame though, Leisha?
But it's fine because I don't think that's. Okay. I guess I'm just trying to say that it's a very fine line when you talk about people's faith and what they believe in, and
but
I'm not going to be one to judge.
They don't want to be a fine line. They bring it into everything.
Now
I'm happy to ignore,
Leisha, now here's,
ignore it.
Here's my question for you: Do you
happy to?
Which is another podcast, Church and State.
Are you mad? Are you more mad that the Republicans are playing quote unquote dirty, or that the Democrats are not trying to do the same?
I would say it's equal.
Okay.
Because I'm fine if the Republicans don't play dirty. I'm fine with it being not dirty. I really am. But if they are going to play dirty, then I'm like fine with us playing dirty too, because to me it's too important to lose on like a moral high ground. It's just past the point where we have that. Like back in the day, we had a little more comfort. Like, both sides were kind of more reasonable and like they were politicians and they understood like certain things had to happen. Like you can't let people like live on the street because you don't want to support the president's policies. But now they've shown to be so crazy that I can't take that risk. Yeah, me personally. Got, yeah, country, I can't take it.
There's more money, more power out there. So, you know, they're not stupid. They know what so they know what's at stake.
If they're dirty, we're dirty. Well, if they're not, we're not. I mean, I'm fine with letting them set the tone.
You know, I'd like to say something just about human nature, because I mean, I listened to, you know, Democrats and Republicans always have the exact same complaints about each other, you know? And it's interesting because neither side thinks that they're playing dirty because, and I give people credit. I think that generally speaking, when somebody says something that offends me or sounds ridiculous to me, I don't usually think they're lying. I think that for whatever reason, they believe what they're saying, you know? So when you have Republicans, and when I say Republicans, in this case, we're talking about birthers, which represent a stark minority of Republicans who get a lot of attention for obvious reasons. But
wait, wasn't there just a poll that said 60% of registered Republicans believe
60%?
60.
I never saw a poll that
60.
That said,
all right,
he doesn't believe he's a Muslim.
There are a fair amount of people who think he's Muslim, and I think it's wrong. But my
is that any different from the birth issue?
Yeah, it's different. A lot of ones who think he's Muslim do think he was still born.
Don't matter.
You know? I'm not defending that position, obviously. My point is that if you ask them, you know, about it, they're not. They'll say, "Well, yeah." If you ever say to them, "You know, why do you do? If you think the Democrats are lying, why do you lie about this birther thing?" A lot of them will say, "Well, we're not lying. We think this is true." And if on the other hand,
but that's the problem.
On the other hand, you ask Democrats, like you just, like you just said, Alicia, you know, you believe Mitt Romney is complicit in a woman's death. You know, a lot of Democrats will say, "I'm not lying about that."
I mean, I don't really believe that.
Well, you don't really believe that, but they really said that. You know?
No,
that
I know, but I mean, I understand what the implication was.
And my point is that. Look, I'm not a partisan guy, believe it or not. I have my beliefs about policy, and I tend to vote about policy, you know? I'm a religious person. I don't generally vote on religious issues. It factors in, but it's not generally the definitive thing for me. I'm just interested in saying this is this guy's idea, this is that guy's idea. How does it work? But Democrats and Republicans as a whole are so wedded to their pre-prescribed formulas for things that nobody seems to find their way to whatever bridge might be constructed that might allow us to move forward. So if you honestly and intellectually think that Barack Obama has the better solutions for tomorrow's problem, I think you should vote for him. And I'm not going to tell you not to vote for him. I'm just going to give my opinion as to why I may think that that's not the case or why I may think that somebody else has a better idea. But all this other stuff just gets in the way.
But here's my problem with what you said. So as far as the birther issue, like, there's certain things, they're called facts. Okay? Obama was not born in another country. He was born here. So therefore, that debate, there is no debate. We don't have to talk about it. Do you understand? Like, there's not a point of view about the birther issue. It's what it is. And the problem with Republicans is they want to debate facts, things that have already been established. And when you tell them the fact, they're still like, I don't believe it. And when you get someone who's coming to you in a debate where the facts aren't enough to win, you can't debate anymore. Like, there's nowhere to go if you're still pushing an issue that has been proven to be incorrect. Like, so I respect a difference of opinion. Let me tell you. But I don't respect telling me something that is flat out a lie that has been proven to be a lie and acting like I have to engage you and respect you because your opinion is different. No.
Yeah, can
there
we
is
answer,
no
can
differing
we, like,
opinion.
Honestly, and I'm asking well, you yeah, because that's, you, that's, I will respect I, your opinion. That, can you please answer that in your opinion? Not that you speak for all Republicans or the conservative part of the conservative leaning people of America, but can you just explain to me why, I mean, Leisha's right. Like, what is that about, man? Like, when she said facts, I was like, that to me is just
he got back on the table.
Yeah, I've been sitting out because my pressure and my heart rate went up. I just don't understand that, Brother Wood. Like, seriously, why is it that facts become, this is why I get so upset, because I'm like, he is not a Muslim. He is born in this country. I don't care. Like, that to me is insulting the intelligence of our country that we wouldn't, that would even be an issue for us in our political race.
But then we're framed as being willing to engage because they want to come with things that aren't true.
I guess the only thing that troubles me about what's being said, and you know, I it's hard for me to even disagree with some of the things you guys are saying about Republicans believe. It just seems strange to me. The Democrats are so blind to some of the things the Democrats believe that they that to me there's also little factual substantiation for. Mitt Romney's a murderer. George W. Bush is a racist, but or a fascist, or a Nazi.
Yeah, and that the
Democratic Party would not even begin to endorse that. But I'm telling you, the Republican Party has absolutely, in their silence, endorsed this foolishness.
And there are hints at it, Mitt Romney. I was born here. Nobody has to ask me. I mean, they're hinting at it. They're playing with it. They're enjoying it. They want it to stay alive. You've never heard Obama hint at the murderer accusation towards Romney. When have you ever heard that?
And even and the only time I've heard a Republican really acknowledge it was with in the 08 race when Senator McCain actually told him. He said, no. He said, no. He was at a rally and somebody said, he's a Muslim and blah, blah, blah. And he said, no, sir. That is not true. That is not.
I get the sense that you guys are sort of getting.
And I still think he did that because
I get the sense that you guys don't maybe patronize conservative media outlets quite as often as you patronize some other ones, which.
What you said was liberal kind of just made me laugh. So
every
I consider some of those conservative.
Every major conservative pundit or show host that I could think of has distanced themselves and completely rejected the birther argument. You know, and again, you guys talk about why does this keep finding its way back to the press? Well, it's because the media covers it. They
because Romney made a joke about it. I mean, he brought it back.
A lot of people didn't hear Romney say that. I don't think Romney thinks that for a minute.
But that's leadership. Because the media is going to do whatever they're going to do. But if the Republican Party said enough is enough, we are not. If it was a memo that went out,
it's not 100% about leadership. It's about getting your party person in the fucking position. The birthing issue
is not an issue for our party. This is a waste of our time. We have other fish to fry. That would be done. The Tea Party wouldn't even be talking about it. But they encourage it. They perpetuate it. And that, to me, is the difference.
I can prove it to you. Because, quite frankly, even if you don't believe that the Republican leadership disagrees with what the birthers have been saying, you got to realize that they realize that if that's a belief that's going to filter through the Republican Party, then they're going to lose the election because people would rightfully judge them to be insane.
Let's clarify. They don't believe it. They know that it's ridiculous. They're happy for the masses that they're leading to believe it because they know that they see it as a negative thing.
The saddest thing about that is, beyond politics, Brotherwood, the saddest thing about that is that it affects our country. Like, what? My thing is, let's move beyond you're a Democrat, you're a Republican.
Good point,
that does
Malcolm.
Not look well on us. It looks like we're stupid. Like when you go internationally and you would debate a fact, people would look at you like you were crazy in the UN if you were like, I mean, that's probably what they did when we said there were no weapons of mass destruction. They were like, oh,
global
we can't trust them.
People, global
These people,
warming.
Like, come on.
Because this country.
It's an embarrassment to our country and to the struggle and progress that we've made. There was a time when everyone in the world was like, America's the greatest country. Look how they're developing. Look how they're educating their populace. Look what they're doing. They're growing. I mean, that's why people were flocking, and people still flock to us because they understand the opportunity and the.
Gap is not as big anymore.
The gap is not as big. And I'm just saying that to me is where we need to be. The fact that we have. The Republican and the two-party system, that's a whole nother podcast. I mean, we definitely need somebody else up in the mix because obviously these two parties are the only two reigning ideologies.
Basically,
in the country.
Only two contenders.
It's like, are you kidding me? The diversity of this country there, there should be at least two other parties challenging for the president of the United States. It is the highest office in our nation, and it is the leader of the free world. Are you kidding me? Like, there's only two parties that represent our thought. That in itself makes us look... like we're not evolved. You know what I'm saying? So these, to me, it goes beyond politics, you guys. It's the fact that we are in engaging in these mindless, ignorant debates. We're not evolving as a country, as a people, and we are just we're almost moving backward. And it's kind of propaganda, but it's kind of genius that you the the mantra is forward. Because I'm like, we do need to move forward. This is ridiculous in 2012 that those kind of issues are at the top of our list of why we wouldn't elect a president. I want to know why. Let me just go there because I felt like my arts articulation was awful. I want to know why we live in the country where the National Endowment for the Arts annual budget is $150 million. And there are organizations that are arts organizations where that's their annual budget. And I'm like, do you understand what the arts does to a people and to its soul? Do you understand that other countries around the world, particularly in Europe, where artists and art is funded by the government because they understand what it does to create a better country? We're sitting here fighting over, is the president of the United States born? I'm like, we need to get to some, talk about real issues. That's the stuff, obviously, I'm passionate about the arts. That's something that affects me. And that is something that I'm like, that's not even in the conversation. How we spend our money, because we're like on the we're literally, if I could just be so bold, our elections to me are if like fifth graders were running for an office in elementary school, because no real issues are being discussed, rhetoric is being tossed back and forth from both parties, nobody's dealing with the and you're manipulating the American people, and we probably are to blame. The American people, we sit here and we listen to these sound bites and we believe this rhetoric, we listen to this propaganda and we believe it on both our sides, and we don't realize that none of them craps gold. All to err is human, and that everybody who gets in that position is going to make a mistake, is not going to be perfect.
Malcolm, I think your point about the Alzheimer's, like we're like Alzheimer's patients, I think it exactly what's right. I heard David Simon say yesterday, there's the idea of you saying, you know, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, is really short-sighted, because the policies that have led us to this process are like the breakdowns of the unions. There are things that happen over the course of the last 20 years, and when your metric is just 4 years, you don't really get to see the long scope. But even in 4 years, like you mentioned, or 8 years, like with George Bush, people forget though he lied, or they don't forget, but it didn't really matter to them that, you know, he invaded a country that had nothing to do with the war on terrorism. And our entire system is kind of propped up on the idea of people being miseducated, to what Leisha was saying, to the point where facts, basic facts, can be disputed. You know, I mean, there are plenty of conservative people who honestly believe that global warming is a hoax. You know, and they always cite whatever the London case was, like, oh, those London scientists. And they cite one actual case, which has been over and over again disproved. Like, what they're hinging their entire argument on is a typo that the scientist himself said, actually, I didn't mean to write that. We just live in a world where miseducation, and I'm sorry, I think it has to do a lot with identity politics. Like, if you keep people occupied with the idea of, like, stupid shit, in some cases, how deep they go into their religion, it'd just be surface, you know, oh, is he a Christian, you know, and as long as Mormons are Christians now, he's okay, you know, and or, you know, is he a Muslim? When you keep them at the surface level, or is he white, and is it right, you know, like, when you keep them at that level, then you don't ask them to, like, really dig deep and find out what matters to them. The DNC had one thing that I just loved. When Bill Clinton spoke, they played a clip of his inaugural speech where he goes, "There's nothing that is wrong with America that can't be fixed. What is right with America?" Yeah. First off, great line. Like, whoever wrote that deserves like an award. But I thought to myself,
I think he wrote it.
I actually believe that. And why do I believe that? Like, what is that true? And I realized it really, for me, broke down to the Constitution. You know, the Constitution is a framework. So even when you can have chattel slavery, where the descendants of your slaves are still become the property of the slave master, the Constitution was so perfectly conceived as a document for freedom and the pursuit of happiness, that at some point when people start to scrutinize it, they realize, yo, this slavery thing, you know, really doesn't follow within our Constitution. I pray that people understand that with regards to religion. Like, I've been asking Leisha, where's the person who is going to stand up and say, I can't fucking stand gays? It's against my religion. I hate them. But we do live in America. And as an American, our Constitution protects all people to be treated equal under the law. And if two people want to engage in a union and have certain rights of what it means to be in a bond with somebody and, you know, tax breaks, healthcare rights, the power of attorney, you know, those people need to have equal protection under the law. I'm waiting for that person out there who says that our Constitution is so great that we can actually do that and not be bothered with what somebody does in their bedroom. And it
which
just
is
really,
sad, isn't that? But isn't it sad to that point, Tash, that
people are stuck? Even the older black folks and the younger black folks who are not willing to take the elders to task and say, you know what? I understand you believe this, and that is A-okay. But that line, whatever is wrong with America can't be fixed by what is right with America. And there was a point in our time, you know, there's a lot of people who are unwilling to make a parallel between the civil rights, the black civil rights movement and the gay civil rights movement. They're like, no, it can't be compared. And it's like, actually, these people aren't treated equal under the law. And all they want to do something is, and what they want to do, hey, I agree. You might disagree with it based on religious beliefs or moral beliefs, but technically, they're two, you know.
It's an issue of civil rights.
Yeah. Do they have the same rights?
Parties, you know, they shy away from this idea of church and state because honestly,
they do. Because they pander to the miseducation of people thinking that somehow being rooted in the church would make them better. Like, it's God, country, and then what else? What? God, country, and.
Self?
Is that it?
I don't know.
God, country, and family, and money
truth.
In America.
I don't know. But
that would be first.
But I think because money. Both parties shy away from that, again, this speaks to us not to this regression. You know, it's like if the Constitution is the highest document in this land, every time there is an issue, it really should be what we go back to. For Christians, if there's ever an issue, you go back to the Bible. That is your document. That is what you go back to is for your truth. And in this country, it was founded on the people were fleeing religious persecution, and they created a country, founded a country, where you had the right as a citizen of this country, freedom of religion, freedom, you know, right to the pursuit of happiness. And I think that we have to deal with that as a country, and Christians have to deal with that too. It's like you can't have your cake and eat it too with the Constitution, because yes, in God we trust is on the money, and yes, there were Judeo-Christian values that informed or had, but they also created a document that allowed for slaves to be counted as a human being, and for people who are of different. Who are regardless of what you, and this is the thing, it's like regardless of what you believe or what you agree with. We live in a country where you have these rights. Mm-hmm. And if you have an issue with that, then you need to come with the huge, you need to come with an amendment to the Constitution then. And that needs to be your battle, is we're going to amend the Constitution. But right now, it's
clear.
Does anybody have anything to say in summation?
Look, my feeling is that there's plenty of guilt to go around. I don't say that to cover up for whatever guilt you perceive as being on the side of the party that I'm on. I do say that, however, and I say that having once been a Democrat and having once been a person who did believe that Bush was essentially or might have been a racist, a person who believed that he might have had fascist intentions for this country, and who has shared the company and went to plenty of rallies and protests with people who did believe that. And people who believe that most Republicans were racist. People who believe that most people, or maybe most white people. I don't have my own Democratic beliefs, but I do believe that on both sides, because I believe that the birther issue is something that should have been a non-issue. And I think it should be a non-issue, Mitt Romney's Mormon faith, or the idea that he was somehow complicit in these things that are being suggested in these Democratic arguments. And I applaud Barack Obama for, albeit after a very long time, and it was a long time, 2 weeks is a long time in politics, Sash, you know that. Distancing himself, but he did it at length, you know. But you know, you gotta be able to see that America's problem is that she can't come together, you know. And I believe what Tash and Bill Clinton said, that what is right with this country is more powerful ultimately than what is wrong with this country, you know. But it requires some self-inspection and some reflection on all of our parts for us to be able to get there. Because as long as we think that we're one side is basically all right and the other side is basically all wrong, we're never going to get anywhere.
And with that, we thank you so much for joining us. Please tune in for the next Black Is Bright. Peace.